Our old friend Gene Simmons, Lisa's boyfriend from the band Kiss, back in the news. You enjoy when he comes to visit us, right, Lisa?
Oh, she loves it.
I like him on the phone.
Yeah, Saturday night he was in New York City at a club called Home Nightclub, and Harvey Levin's people at TMZ.com caught up with him, and there was a dude outside of the nightclub trying to hit on a girl.
Okay. Right.
And you remember that that show, The Pickup Artist with Mystery?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, guy who takes nerds, takes right. losers, teaches them how to make it with the ladies.
So that's what Gene's doing outside of this nightclub. For real, though, the guy hit on this girl by asking her if she was Italian, and that's where Gene comes in, and he's asking, did you really just, that's an opening line? Are you Italian?
Did you ask her if she's Italian?
He did.
That's a good opening line. Why does it matter what she is?
Doesn't matter, Gene.
Are you Italian? Hey, how you doing? What does that have to do with anything?
Can you imagine? You're outside a nightclub, you're hitting on a girl, and now Gene Simmons is mocking you in front of her.
You're so screwed.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'd also like to point out, it's hardly fair, because all Gene Simmons has to do to get a woman is go, as a matter of fact, I am the bass player in the band Kiss. I mean, that's all. He doesn't have to ever worry about opening lines.
But he's helping the guy out.
I don't know. There's a better pickup line. Watch this. You work on
it's
horse.
Not a pickup line. What do you do? Construction management. I'm the superintendent.
There you go. That means he's got a good job. Now, she looks like a cold girl.
Would you like my shirt?
Now you got it. It's a good one.
If I had a jacket, I'd give it to you, but you know what? I'll give you my shirt, too.
How long does it take for him to come up with?
All right, so he's helping him out. He's trying to help him with a little opening line. You look cold. How about my shirt?
Well, we wanted to find out what's going on with our friend Gene, so we've got him on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. This is Gene Simmons from Kiss. How are you?
Hi, Gene. Are you driving right now?
I am. I'm going down... Going down PCH in my very rare, very elegant, very romantic 1962 Dino Ferrari Coupe.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Not that you're bragging, though, right?
Why would I need to? I'm Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Right. Good right.
I put the man back in romance.
Right. Is there any way you can either turn the car down or turn your phone up?
No, Omar, turn the car down.
Omar's in the car with you?
Yes.
What's Omar doing in the car with you?
Massaging my
Oh, man, that's too much.
Listen, Gene, so the story, I don't even have to ask you if it's true. We've seen it on video. So you're outside the nightclub in New York, and you're trying to help this young man pick up women. That's your deal, right?
Typically. I've been reluctant to release my secrets on picking up women. But I felt like I've been a little bit too tight-lipped for a long time. At least, speaking of being tight-lipped,
This isn't about Lisa. That's not what we have you on to talk about, Gene.
By the way, Lisa May, now that I've mentioned your name, mm-hmm. and you're very lucky that I have, by the way, I heard that you're a Boston Red Sox fan.
That's
nice. You know, I tip my cap to them and the team and how well they've done so far. But I happen to be a Cleveland fan. Cleveland Indians fan.
Well, you're doing better.
I understand. But how? Speaking of Cleveland, how's the Cleveland Steamers sound?
Oh, come on. Oh, that was a long slide for an out.
Come on.
This is
Gene, you're not even
teaching people?
And by the way, are you in the Long Beach Grand Prix right now? Where the hell are you driving so that fast?
What other tips? Almost to the sinkhole.
All right, you don't want that. Okay, all right, Gene. Listen. What other tips do you have for the young men out there who are shy, who don't have your personality, but what a good opening line or a good conversation starter with a woman?
Well, first off, when you approach a woman, you don't want to use one of these canned, cheesy lines.
Okay.
You know, what's your sign? Do you come here often?
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
Okay.
In fact, don't even approach the woman at all directly. Start talking to one of your male friends and make sure that she overhears you.
Okay.
And you're going to be talking about something very high culture, very so she gets interest in you and she thinks you're someone who's of substance.
Okay. Like
for instance, say, I don't feel that the modern abstract art has progressed at all since the splatter art era of Jackson Pollock.
Okay,
like that.
I'd have to write that
Lisa
down.
Lisa May, speaking of splatter art.
I don't think.
Okay.
Why?
It's not really
I think your
the
face
hell.
Make a great
okay, you're just.
Gene.
You're just.
No, what,
that's
I'm
just gross.
Simply saying. Now, once you've engaged the woman, she's definitely. Her interest has been aroused by your intellectual commentary.
Okay.
You go and you ask to buy her a drink. And you don't do it in a slimy way. You just simply do it. You say, what are you drinking? And you walk up to the bar and you buy that. Now, don't carry a wallet, okay? Because you want to show off the fact that you have a very, very large wad of money. Women are, in fact, turned on by cash. Don't deny that fact. And you want to have a very, very large wad of money. Speaking of large wads.
Okay. You know what?
Not what we
don't have any more time for this nonsense, Gene. I'm sorry.
While you get...
I'm sorry.
Once you've started the conversation...
You have more?
Of course. Listen, I don't only want to tell you how to pick up a woman. I want to show you how to seal the deal, first date, things like that. Yeah. Once you've gotten the discourse started, you bought her your drink, catch her off guard. Make some commentary about perhaps her handbag. Or even the decor inside the bar or club. Say, those are fantastic curtains right there. Those are obviously
Nope. Can't do it, Gene. Gotta go.
He's amazing.
Can't do it. Gotta go.
Checking in with celebrities all year long, above and below ground.
I'm sure you've seen the Saddam video by now.
I put it to a rave bed. It's hilarious.
Extremely drunk, extremely scared photographer who was actually videotaping it on his camera.
Yeah.
And
his phone.
Now they're searching for
his camera phone, right? And are they?
They're trying to figure out who it was, yeah.
Yeah, and he was, I think sometimes he put it down his pants. He was doing the floor, the ceiling. You see Saddam about every 30 seconds for about 1 second.
Yeah.
Not the best videotaping job ever. But we thought maybe it was time to check in. We have a very unique electronically advanced situation here on the program where we can actually reach heaven or hell. And I think it's time for the hotline to hell.
You want to call? I think hell is probably our best bet for Saddam Hussein, don't you think? So let's dial that up. You know, it's been a couple of days now. Usually it takes a couple of days for them to get processed. And then once they're checked in, then they can start receiving phone calls from Earth. So see if we can get somebody
Hello,
down there.
Hello, hell.
Hello, what? Big dog devils.
Hey.
Sounds right.
Saddam, how you doing?
What's crack-a-lacking, my buddies?
Well, how's it feel to be dead? How do you like it?
My lawyers and I are appealing.
You're appealing death?
Yes. We'll hope to drag this thing out even longer.
But wait a minute. How do you do that? Do you then just come?
Well, it's paperwork you fill out, and then you put it in, and they tell you, in a couple of months whether you get another hearing or not.
Well, I think it may be past that. I think it's over here on Earth. I think whatever happens to you next is going to happen on the other side, Saddam.
I'll tell you, the other side is a lot like Iraq.
Is it really?
It's very hot.
Yeah?
And a lot of people being tortured.
Right.
I feel like it's home, actually, for me.
Kind of reminds you of the same thing, huh?
Not too bad.
Wow.
It's actually cooler in hell than it is Iraq in the summertime.
How about that?
It's a nice breeze that comes through once in a while.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Excellent.
Now, Saddam, I wanted to ask you, because I don't know that I've ever asked this of anyone in hell before, but do you have access to the TV here on Earth? Have you seen the reaction to your death around the world?
The only TV you get in hell is the CW.
Oh, that's
yes.
tough.
Oh, trust me, it's the worst part of the whole thing.
That's it, huh?
That and The View. They pipe that directly in.
Well, that's why they call it hell, I guess.
They're expecting all of those women shortly, that's why.
Oh, I hope so. I'd like to meet a couple of them. Show them around the joint.
I'm sure you would.
There's been quite a bit of news on you. Of course, the Pope has come out and condemned your death. I don't know if you had heard about that.
Come on, really?
Yeah, he thought
he's supposed to be forgiving and all that stuff.
No, he's condemned your death. He's saying they should not have killed you.
Oh, okay, that's better. Right. I thought he was condemning me even after my death. I mean, it's better if they kill me. Now the guy's piling on.
No piling on there.
Also, the prime minister of your country, of Iraq, has ordered an investigation to find out who it was that was taunting you as you were being led to the gallows. I guess there were some people who were yelling out the names of some of the people you killed. Do you have much memory of that, Saddam?
I didn't remember once. One guy I saw in the corner of my eye kept grabbing his tie and pulling up to the side of his head. I thought that was poor taste.
Yeah, that's
going. That's not even funny. Cut that out, I thought.
What were they all?
I died.
When you had the noose around your neck, what were they all yelling? It seemed like the entire group of people was there yelling something, and it was, of course, we couldn't understand it.
Yes, they were yelling, "Get a bigger rope! Get a bigger rope!" Because they were afraid it might snap and I could live that way.
I see, okay.
Suggesting using some steel cable.
I got you.
Remember, they used to pull down my statue. That's what they were looking for, I think.
Sure. Were you afraid of death, or is it something you were prepared for after being in...
No, not at all. I was looking forward to it. What kind of question is that?
Well, because some people are at peace
and who's afraid of death? Everyone likes death. Everyone looks forward to that thing, Bean.
Some people are ready to go. That's what I'm saying. I didn't know if you were or not.
Actually, I was ready to go.
You were?
I was ready to go. I figured I had enough of this world when a giant tree fell on my VW Beetle. I said, this. Screw this life. This is not worth it anymore.
That was Bean.
That was me. That happened to me during the storm in December, Saddam. That didn't happen.
You see that picture, by the way, at krock.com. You can see Bean's car getting cut in half.
I feel good.
Yeah, so anyway, we're going to a party down here.
Hold on a sec. Saddam, what was is somebody else there?
Oh, there's a lot of people down here. Hell, are you kidding me?
You're not there by yourself?
Get out of good foot. Ow!
James Brown.
Yeah, James Brown just got down here.
He's in hell?
He's my roomie.
Oh, he's your... You guys have roommates in hell?
At the first part, they put you in sort of a dorm.
Uh-huh.
And then they find permanent housing for you, you know, under a rock or in flames or something.
I see. Well, can we talk to James? Would you mind?
Hold on.
Oh, wow.
Hey, James Brown, come over here, please. What are you doing?
Two for one.
What a surprise this is.
I feel good. Not all good. I'm dead in hell.
James, I got to be honest, I didn't think about it, but I'm a little bit surprised to find you in hell with all the joy you brought to people around the world. I thought you'd be in the other place.
Yeah, I was surprised, too. I had sex with Charles in a hotel room, and they put me down here.
Oh. No. You didn't have sex with Charles. You had sex with a girl while Charles was in the room.
Is that what he told
That's
you?
That's what he told us.
Oh. Charles coming down here, too, lying.
Oh, no. That's not good. James, are you happy that that Michael Jackson got up and said a few things at your funeral?
I'll talk to him soon.
You will.
Down here.
Ah, yes. I'm sure he's on his way, too.
I got a hairball. Hold on a second.
That's been a hairball all this time?
Oh, that's better. Thank you.
Wait, you're James Brown. That's how you really talk?
This is actually how I talk, yes.
But it was the hairball that made you talk. Wow.
Wait a minute. Shut up, Gerald.
Who's that?
Gerald Fall.
Gerald LeVert? What?
What?
Gerald LeVert. Gerald LeVert.
I don't know. It's the first name that came to my mind. Gerald Ford is not in hell. He's a former president. He was very respected.
I think he was the singer of the R&B band LeVert, wasn't he, Kevin?
Thank
is that
you.
You're thinking of?
It was, yes, but I wasn't sure.
Are you telling us that former president Gerald Ford is in hell, James?
What I was saying, not him.
Or is it just Gerald LeVert?
James, is Gerald Ford down there?
Good morning, Kevin and Brian. How are you?
You're in hell, sir?
Yeah. Can you guys help me out? I think I'm in the wrong place.
Well, how did you get sent down there?
I think Richard Nixon pulled some strings.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
And all you did for him, too.
The NRC down here.
Oh, that's
the
not...
The Netherworld Republican Committee.
He's the head of it?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Co-chair is Gerald LeVert.
It's the only famous Gerald that came to my head. I can't explain it.
Well, if President Ford had been in the news a lot this week, maybe his name would have been closer to the top of the list.
I'm just saying. Are we done?
I think we're done.
All right. And it's always fun to watch a person reborn.
I don't know what you mean. I'm better than I've ever been before.
Got a great email, by the way, from K-Rock Window Licker Nick, who I think we have on the phone right now. It sounds like Nick may need our help, guys. Hey, Nick.
Hi, what's up?
How you been, man?
I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm good, you know.
Nick, we've been friends for a long time. I think you pointed out the other day that you've been now a part of the Kevin and Bean family for over a year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've seen my fair share of emails from you, but I don't think I've ever seen you as fired up as you were in the email that you sent me this morning.
I can't do this virgin thing anymore. I need to get laid. You know what else? On a grander scale of things, I need to grow up.
Nope. No, you don't. Nick,
yeah, I do.
Nick, how old are you?
I'm 23 years old. Right now, I'm looking at my future, and I just...
Don't
I
like
need
it.
More. I want to be... More than I am. I want to be great. I want to be a winner.
So holding a sign and never getting laid is not your vision of the perfect future?
Yeah, it's not.
Yes, it's not.
I want to be a Laker, not a Clipper. And by Lakers, I mean Shaq and Kobe, not what we have right now.
Yeah, sure. You know? Right. Okay. Did something happen this week that lit this fire under your butt, Nick? Because your life has been pretty consistent over the last few years, but all of a sudden, for some reason today, you've decided you need to change it immediately.
It's been built, well, not immediately, but well, oh, you know, gradually over the course of the next few months. This is going to be a big few months for me. I'm just going to change a lot.
But, Nick, in your email that you sent to me, you said, guys, I can't take this anymore. I have to get laid this month in big capital letters. I feel like I need to end this virgin BS once and for all, and I need to end it now. It's like you're carrying this, you got this monkey on your back that you can't wait to get rid of.
Yeah, Peyton Manning had a monkey on his back, and now it's off, and look how much happier he is.
See, Peyton Manning's a lot happier. True, he did win the Super Bowl. Yeah, you're right about that. So what's your plan, Nick? I mean, it's one thing to want to do something different, but what are you actually going to do? Like, what's your plan this weekend to try to make these things happen?
Probably I'm going to go to bars and clubs. I'm just going to meet women. I'm going to go out and meet women.
Okay.
A lot of women.
You're going to go meet women. Okay.
You're going to play the numbers game just to meet as many as you can. One's bound to fall.
Yes.
But okay.
All in the numbers.
Okay. But after you meet them, Nick, what are you going to do then?
Probably going to get them drunk.
Great. Well, pick up some roofies on your way.
That's a great plan.
Yeah,
Jesus.
That far, you know? Just,
oh, you'll get him drunk, but you won't drug him. All right. Yeah. You got your standards.
He does. Nick, I guess what we're afraid of is that date rape is not a policy. Okay, you understand that?
No, I'm going to be a gentleman.
All right.
All right, listen to more of Nick's email. And again, just on fire today. This whole window licker persona, it's a part of me. It's not an act, and I'm okay with that. But not getting laid, it's not so funny anymore, you know? I don't want to turn into the Armenian comedian of sex. Here's what I love about Nick. He's not just talking about this weekend. He's got a life plan now. Listen to this. I want Weenie Roast tickets tomorrow, meaning what? You're going to try to buy them when they go on sale at noon? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sex within the month, meaning May. This is the month you're going to lose your virginity, right, Nick?
I also want to finish my screenplay within the month, too. That's another plan.
Dude.
Wow, that's a full month.
Dude, it sure is.
You don't understand what kind of numbers it's going to take.
Okay, he goes on. He expects and plans for a hot wife and a career in the movies in a few years because, by God, I want to win. I want to be Nick, the window-licking winner, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Good to have goals.
What do you when you say a career in the movies? That's as a screenwriter. Is that your goal, Nick?
Yes. I want to write stories and I want to bring entertainment to people. I want to be great. I have this fear. I have this surge of like the future is happening now. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that song from like the Scorpions, like the Winds of Change. You know.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Of course we do. Now, Ralph, why don't you, how about some fatherly words of advice for Nick? There was a time where you were a young man, maybe not 22, but you hadn't had a woman yet. How did you go about it? What kind of advice can you give for him as he goes out this weekend on his new adventure?
Well, when I lost my virginity, I guess it was nap time. I was in kindergarten. And we just had nutrition, and everyone was kind of laying down in the cloakroom there, and I just, you know, rolled over to Katie. And
I don't think this helped. Because Nick's already 23.
You know what I'm saying, though, Ralph. I mean, he needs. He needs some confidence. I guess is what he needs.
He needs a hooker. Is what he needs. He needs a hooker.
Let's be honest. I'm gonna pitch
Nick.
In.
Just buy it.
No, I'm gonna go get it.
No, you're not. Trust me. You're not gonna get it.
Okay.
You're not gonna get it
today.
Okay, but
no.
Nick,
listen. You have no shot. Pay for it.
Okay.
Get it out of the way.
You'll be
a lot better off. You'll be a lot better off of getting more sex once you get that first one out of the way because the pressure, you're just buckling under it. You can't handle it.
That's what I was going to say is you pay for it first, Nick, and then you keep going after it, but now you have a little bit more confidence and it might actually come your way.
That makes sense to me, Nick.
I'll pitch in. Bean?
I will too.
Ralph?
Is it the price? Is that the problem?
Are you actually serious? You guys would actually pay for it?
Well, no, it's illegal. First of all, it's illegal, so no.
That's right.
So we wouldn't recommend it at all, and we couldn't be any part of that officially on the air. But off the air, yeah, we can talk.
Well played, B.
I guess
we've totally thrown them off the scent.
How's anyone going to know what we're doing? They'll never know. So
just about sex. It's about everything. Now.
Nope. But Nick, you have.
Oh, it can't be about everything. Pick one thing at a time.
You have to start someplace.
Everything. I'm just like, let's go change the world, you know?
Yeah.
Nick sounds like he's going to explode today.
No,
are you bleeding the lines at all, Nick? I mean, are you letting some of that build up out? I mean, come on.
No. I just feel like, you know, it's a new era that's coming for me.
But we're just afraid your eyes are a little too big. I mean, like, you want to be writing a screenplay while getting laid and then get married and be a movie producer within a month. It's not really...
Okay, I'm not going to do all that in a month, all right? My life is going to look very, very different by the end of summer.
Okay, that's fine.
But
okay.
We're trying to help you do one of those things within a month.
Well, I can spend some time writing, then go out and get sex, hopefully.
Okay. That's the worst plan ever.
That's priorities. There's some good priorities for a 22-year-old virgin right there. I'm going to do some writing, and then maybe I'll think about going out and getting a woman.
Or maybe I'll just smoke a bowl and watch Spider-Man 3.
Which, by the way...
I'm going to do all of it, all right? It's just a new era.
Nick, in your email, you said that you were going to get high and go to Spider-Man. Now...
I am.
I got news for you.
That is not world-changing behavior, my friend.
Nor is it getting laid behavior.
Spider-Man 3, I've been waiting for months to see it. You know?
Right. We're not saying don't see it. We're saying that might not be a good start to the new you. That's all.
The new era starts after that. Okay?
After Spider-Man.
I take it back. No hooker for you.
Yeah, you don't deserve it.
Well, it's fine because you know what? I am growing up. I'm truly growing up. I'm becoming
look.
A man.
Okay, listen, Dick. Don't.
I'm becoming a man.
Please don't. Right. Hey, when does your voice change, by the way? Because that's going to be very exciting for you. Listen, Dick. Please don't misunderstand. As we've said to you many times before, you're part of the family. We love you. We care about you.
I love being part of the family. I love.
Right, and we're not against you. We're trying to offer some constructive advice. But I have a feeling like everything we say just goes right over your head. Like you're not even listening to us when we try to give you this advice.
What are you trying to tell me?
Oh, for God's sake.
Here's our advice. Do this favor for us. If you ever end up living next door to Mr. and Mrs. Ralph Garman, make as much noise as possible.
What you are about to hear, you will not believe.
Yeah.
You will not. I cannot believe that this is actually happening to Ralph.
Yeah. Imagine living next to it. My next door neighbor, who belonged to some cult or something.
Yes.
And he's a chanter.
Now, how close a neighbor are we talking here, Ralph, in terms of distance from you to the other person?
Okay, I live in a duplex, which is, unlike some duplexes, it's a large house split down the middle. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a two-bedroom apartment on the left-hand side and another on the right-hand side divided by a main wall that splits the building. Then to the left of my apartment is a driveway, which is my driveway, which goes into the backyard. So it's, the average width of a driveway is what, 10, 12 feet?
Somewhere like that, yeah.
And then just beyond that is the next duplex. Mm-hmm. So this guy's windows face my windows across the span of this driveway.
And how often are we talking about him making this chanting noise?
Every day! But now the best part is, since I've talked to you about it last, is now he has brought new members to the flock.
More people.
So now when they do chant, there's a room full of, I don't know, 10 to 15 people all doing this.
And that goes on for how long at a time?
Usually an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Hour and a half of that noise?
Yes.
Non-stop?
Non-stop.
They don't even get up and take a 10-minute bathroom break?
Nope.
Oh, my God.
And this is just me holding a small handheld tape recorder up to my window.
That's unbelievable.
That's what I was saying. You will not believe.
That's the volume coming into my house.
Dude. That's honked up.
Well, at least there's variety in
tune. At least they're going to harmonies and stuff.
Ralph. Can you put it to a rave bed?
You know, and I'm trying to watch, I don't know, Jenna Jameson on vacation or something, whatever video I'm trying to watch, whatever, and that's bleeding through the walls.
All right, so here's what we need to know. We really need two things. We need somebody to interpret for us, is this a Buddhist thing? Is this, is it not a religious thing? Who knows what it is? 1-800-520-1067. And what should Ralph do? I understand that he is reluctant to go over there and screw with the guy's religion.
Over. Ralph, I'm coming over with you. We're going to go next door.
Great.
And you
got to
take that tape with you.
We're going to introduce ourselves. We're going to say, hi, how you doing? We're your neighbors, and we're gay. Ralph, it sounds like he's got some kind of a loudspeaker
system. Amplifier, yeah.
No, that's just him.
And
see, that's how he gets you. He'll stop and you'll say, oh, finally. And then he'll just take a breath and he'll go back in again.
Is he in robes or anything like that?
Listen
to the bell.
See, you're missing the bell. You got to listen to the tape.
What is that?
That's the gong he hits during the chanting. And then you say, all right, that's it. That's the end of it.
Ow! Teresa may have some insight into what these chants are all about. Teresa in Commerce. Hi, you're on K-Rock this morning. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Teresa.
What they're saying is Nam-myoho-renge-kyo.
It doesn't sound like that at all, though.
Because they're slurring it because they've been saying it for hours. In the morning and the evening, they're doing what's called a gongyo. It's a group called SGI USA. It's the Soko Gakkai International, and they're all over the place. I have an ex-boyfriend who is very much into it, so I did that for a little bit. But they believe the longer they chant, the more they'll get. So they want to do these marathon chanting, and that's all they'll say. They have beads, they have the gongs, and they'll sit there going, Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, and it just keeps slurring.
Do they have some kind of microphone system to make it louder? Because it
doesn't
really...
it sound like that?
Yeah.
It's very annoying. Well, you should go to the actual... I don't know if they call it a church or the place they worship. But
yeah, I'd love to. That sounds great.
Well, now, is it? I'm sorry, you ran so many of these terms that I'm unfamiliar with by me. Is this some sort of a deity that they're praying to?
It's a sect of Buddhism. It's not really a certain deity, but just kind of
to the universe.
Japanese thing, yeah.
Are they angry type people? Like if Ralph were to go over and say, "Hey, my name's Ralph. You know, that's a little bit loud. Would you mind keeping it down a little?" Would they
embrace him and tell him, "Come join us and come sit with us, and we'll get you what you want. Because if you chant, this is what'll happen to you."
But what I want is for you to shut up. That's what I would say. How do I chant to get you to shut the F up?
So yeah. Would it be considered offensive? Is it bad form to go up to somebody and ask them to tone down the prayer?
No, just that you're not into Buddhism, and it's a little loud, just because, especially because they want more people. The more people, the more powerful the prayer is. That's why it's so loud.
Is there anything about the closing of the windows? Can't they just close their own window?
It gets hot when there's a bunch of people in the room.
Oh, that's all.
Put on the air conditioning.
Yeah. Well, no kidding. You know. Yeah, they should be praying for an air conditioner is what they ought to be praying for. All right, Teresa, thank you. Eric is calling from Lakewood with more advice. Hi, Eric. You're on K-Rock.
Dude, this is not about being hot. They want you to hear this stuff, man. When I lived in Chicago, like all normal people and great people from Chicago do,
right,
we go over there and we say, "Dude, we're trying to sleep, man." And they become fanatical. I was in a very similar situation with the driveway. It was across the driveway.
Right.
They stood on my driveway and chanted to my window.
Oh my
dear
God.
Lord.
After I went over there. And I did the whole get off my property thing. So they stood on the sidewalk next to my driveway.
Oh.
They put little statues on my porch every day. So when I came home, they sent me literature.
Oh, boy.
The guy told me that I need this. It's healing. Everybody should hear us. And it goes on forever.
So if you bring it up, it's likely to escalate the situation and make it even worse than it is now.
Move, dude.
Ralph, if I were you, I would buy the world's largest sound system and just point the speakers at them. And every time they chant, I would play something super annoying.
I'm thinking of, Kevin, you know my solution to all of these things is the free on-air horn. I think I'm going to go into a Marine store and do
that.
Just in the window, just every time they chant.
Please do that, Ralph.
But please let Kevin go with you when you do it.
This is my religion. I pray to the air horn god.
One more call. Tim, Los Angeles. Good morning. You're on with K-Rock. What do you think Ralph ought to do?
My neighbors across the driveway are Hasidic, and I can handle the 10-gallon yarmulkes and the Wild West Undertaker outfits. But the thing is, I have a top-bottom duplex.
Yeah.
So next door, and it's a pretty nice neighborhood, but next door I literally have six families because they live one family to a bedroom.
Right.
Wow.
So when they chant, it sounds like Eddie Murphy and the Golden Child making fun of monks.
Wow.
So it's this sort of, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to record it and play it back to them. You're halfway there.
You got it recorded. Now you just turn the speakers around and start playing the chanting back at them.
When I did that twice, the windows slam and they disappear.
Tim, thanks for the call. There is one tiny silver lining in this big black cloud. Ralph, I just got the report in from the music department. Apparently they have taken the chant and put it to a rave bed.
Oh.
It's a huge hit in Germany. I think we have a clip.
Great. I can't dig this.
So congratulations. You started the trend.
The amazing story of the part-time dog.
Got an article from USA Today. A new timeshare business lets urban dwellers rent dogs that they don't have the time or space to keep on a full-time basis.
That's a very interesting idea.
So you can't take care of a dog full-time, but you love a dog and you'd like to have it for, say, a weekend.
Every once in a while, you miss the opportunity to run on the beach with your dog or just play with it in the yard or something like that. And this gives you the opportunity to do that and then be able to hand it back at the end of the week.
It's called Flex Pets. And members get to choose from 10 dogs. They're available through the company's program of shared pet ownership.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Me either. And I don't know where they go back to, if they go back to this company and they just keep them all there, or they're in a, I don't
or
know.
Or somebody has them in their home and they're not being rented out. Or, that's kind of weird.
Or is there a company when a call comes in and wants you to rent a dog, they go out on the street and like steal a dog, like a stray dog or something? Well, we wanted to find out more about it, so we asked producer Lightning to line up a representative from the company, which again is called Flex Pets. Let's say hi to Sam Contro. Mr. Contro, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks, good to talk to you.
Well, we're doing fine. Are you okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Just here at the Flex Pet offices. Flex, down, Flex.
The pet's name is Flex?
All of them are named Flex.
Oh, all right. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, we don't bother naming them because no one ever loves them long enough for them to get to know their name.
Oh.
We just call them the Flex pets. They're all named Flex.
That's really sad. I was hoping that wasn't the case. So what's the typical consumer, the typical person who would want to use your service?
Well, here at Flex Pets, we like to think of it as like going to a hooker. You know, just because you want to bone some broad doesn't mean you want to marry her.
Right.
Hear her yapping all the time. Blah, 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 blah. Paint the house. Blah, blah, blah. In fact, the name of the company was Hooker Pets.
Hooker Pets.
But the phone didn't ring so much with that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We named the Flex Pets. And it's basically the same principle, though. If you want to spend some time with a dog, but you don't want to take the time to actually make a commitment to that dog, then we rent you a dog, and then you can hang out with him and do whatever you want. And we always say here at Flex Pets, you got no time? We're flexible. You got no sense of responsibility? We're flexible. You got no money? That's when we're not so flexible.
Not so flexible. $150 training fee, a $99 annual fee, a $49 monthly fee, and a daily fee.
Ka-ching!
Wow.
That's a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. The funny thing is, we get you for the training fee, and how many times do you think we have to train the dogs? Pretty much once.
Yeah, right. Now, what kind of, I'm a little bit concerned, I have to ask this to speak up for the dogs who can't. What about the people? I mean, what kind of screening process do you go through from people who want to use your service? You can't just give a dog to anyone who calls.
No, we don't. You have to have a credit card or a check.
Really?
You don't get one of our dogs. So we have a very thorough screening process.
There's no background check as far as how they will treat the animal.
No. No.
Okay.
No, but I mean, these are flex dogs. They don't really count.
But the call comes in, and I don't know, it's superstar quarterback Michael Vick, for instance. You don't care? You send a dog out?
We'll take cash.
Oh, wow.
Won't even leave a paper trail.
Wow. What?
Flex, be quiet.
You have cats, too?
Yeah, we got Flex cats, we got Flex dogs. We rent almost everybody. Well, not the Koreans, because we can't get our dogs back. We don't know where they went. What's cooking? What
did I say? You lose the deposit every time you make a cat.
Flex, be quiet.
What the hell?
Is that
like
a cow?
Yeah, we also, we rent all different kinds of animals. Those are our cows. We have a bovine Flex program as well.
Okay, but why?
We call it Bowflex.
Hey!
Thank you so much. I'll be here all week.
Sam, why would somebody ever rent a cow for the weekend?
You like milk?
Well,
how about some fresh milk?
You can buy it.
Okay, I guess.
We can buy a dog, too. The whole thing falls apart if you start using logic.
All right, so you have cats, you have dogs, you have cows.
Yep.
Horses.
Flex, be quiet.
Okay, that kind of makes sense. You
horses,
want to go
horse,
for a weekend, sure.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah, also the ladies like it, too, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Because they like to ride horses.
Whatever you kids are calling it these days.
You have roosters?
That's our Flex Cox program. In case you want a rooster around the house to wake you up at dawn, you know, it's an alarm clock.
Right.
Give you that rustic feeling.
Sure.
Someone might.
Monkeys?
Down.
Monkeys?
Yeah, we got monkeys.
Wow. Is it confusing that they're all named Flex? It seems like it'd be tough to keep them in line.
Only at dinner time.
Okay, yeah.
Because when I call Flex to dinner, it's a stampede.
Sure, yeah. Okay. You can't rent an elephant.
Down. That's our Flexifant program.
You rent elephants?
Oh, sure.
Wow.
They make great pets.
Elephants do.
They sure do. And they always remember everybody they get rented to, oddly enough.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Excellent memories.
What's that?
That's a wife.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of times pets could gain from getting high, don't you?
Well, they sure do in China.
Got a bull elephant from Zishuangbanna,
hey,
in southern Yunnan, has recovered from a serious heroin addiction. Yep,
that's what happens, by the way, when you leave elephants at home after school unsupervised.
Nope.
This is why they need activities.
This elephant is named Big Brother. Was fed heroin laced bananas.
Why?
Because the guy who was training him thought that it would make him easier to control and thereby control the other elephants.
Aww.
He was using the elephant for work?
I believe so, yes. It just says it was easier to control him and his herd.
Could have been a
circus.
That
seems like an expensive way to keep your animals in line, doesn't it?
While driving the herd back to Zishuangbanna, Big Brother started drooling and bellowing and even tried to run away. The police were surprised to learn from one of the traders that it was suffering from withdrawal symptoms from heroin.
Oh, you don't want an elephant doing that.
No, you don't.
Oh, my God.
No, you don't.
I think there's a lot of things wrong with this particular
you
this story.
Well, we asked producer Lightning if there's somebody he could line up, and I think we do have somebody from the China Daily who can tell us more about this actual true story that's in the paper this week. Good morning, Kevin Amin Show here from K-Rock. Who's this?
This is Big Brother.
This is
You're the elephant that we were talking about in the story?
Yeah.
Wow. I've been doing this show so long, you'd think I would have seen that coming.
I think so, because we use the same silly voice and the same bit every time we do something like this.
That is true.
I'm surprised you're surprised.
So how are you feeling now, Big Brother? I understand you've been through rehab.
I'm jonesing for a fix, bitch.
Yeah.
Damn, I want to get high so bad. Yeah. I'm like Scott Weiland at Winnie Rose.
Oh,
it's got to be tough
big
for you,
brother.
Oh, yeah, it's my bad. Yeah, I hooked him on heroin. Yeah, I'm the bad guy.
You did?
You're right, he never did heroin. My bad. Whoops. So with the groaning, bitches.
So, Big Brother.
Very unhappy elephant.
The story is true. Your owner was feeding you heroin-laced bananas, and that's how he was able to get you to do his bidding.
First of all, he no owner, okay?
He's not an owner.
No, he was a legal elephant trader.
Okay.
Those are people who take elephants illegally in the wild and sell them into captivity.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's just sad.
Read the goddamn story, people!
Didn't get that far down.
Read that story!
Now, is it true?
I gotta do everything!
Is it true, Big Brother, that you were...
I'm so angry.
You sound angry.
I could stomp you with my big elephant feet.
Is it true that you were sent to rehab?
Yes, at the Tropical Wildlife Park. That's okay. Also in the story, about three-quarters way down.
No, I see it. That's why I was asking
you
about it.
You get the paperwork in the beginning of the show. Read it.
It cracks me up that anywhere they're actually providing the service for elephants.
Well, they had no choice. Otherwise, I'd go crazy. I run amok. And you don't want an elephant being amok.
No, you certainly don't. So they've given you grass and sugarcane fruit, and then with that methadone, I guess 50 milligram doses of methadone, and that's how they helped you kick the heroin.
Yes, and I tell you something, grass, sugarcane, and fruit, pour something to for heroin. I want heroin, not sugarcane.
Oh, it says in the story you've been off it for a year. You still want it?
Yes! Oh. I love heroin. I love to get all high and then watch television, just nod off. Just sleep on couch.
You're an elephant.
Watching episodes of Cops. Oh, that was the good life. Now I'm back in the wild. Now I have to get my own leaves off of trees and crap.
Before I just
order a pizza.
That's true.
It sucks being a heroin addicted elephant.
I'll bet it does.
You have no idea.
I'll bet I don't.
No, you don't. I bet you don't.
Pretty sure.
I bet a lot of things.
I'm pretty sure I don't realize what it's like to be a heroin addicted elephant.
That's when I'm back in Shishuang Bana. Walla walla bing bang.
I may or may not realize this, but we do have an internship program here on the Kevin Bean Show. You can go to krock.com and sign up, get all the details. And we've had a lot of great ones over the years, including our favorite, the Shaolin Robot. Guys, we love to tip you off from time to time on things you got to check out on the internet. You know, the internet has replaced television in my heart as the greatest thing in my house. And that's saying something, because I'm a guy who is obsessed with and loves TV my whole life, right?
Bean spends his entire life either listening to the news or watching the news or looking it up on the internet or whatever.
Yeah, he's plugged in all the
and
time.
All of us come in every day and we say, have you seen? I saw it a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Dude, have you seen the new? Yeah, I saw it a month ago.
But the thing I'm telling you, though, is if I could only choose one, I think I'd have to, at this point, choose the internet over the television. And the internet is now providing great, great programming. There's so many awesome things that you can watch on the internet. There are two things I want to tell you about that you have to check out. One is, if you've not yet seen the Jimmy Kimmel Born Ultimatum video, that's something you have to go to YouTube and look at. Have you seen that yet, Kevin?
I haven't. No.
Guillermo stars in the Born Ultimatum. And it's not like the usual video that they do where Guillermo just plays the character and they edit the clips. Matt Damon is in it, too.
Oh, no kidding. That's awesome.
And it's phenomenal. It's one of the best things that Jimmy's ever done on his show. So definitely check that out. The other thing is the new internet sensation that already has been viewed more than 3 million times. And I'm talking about our good friend Tay Zonde and his smash hit Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate Rain. rain.
And it goes on like this for 5 minutes.
Will be born, will die before this in chocolate rain.
It's the most repetitious song ever.
It is. And the thing about it is you get the impression that he's just making up the words as he goes along. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. You don't have any idea what chocolate rain is. It's just chocolate rain, and then you say something. Chocolate rain, and you say something.
And it's so funny because he's a black dude that's doing it, and he sounds like an opera singer. I mean, that's the last thing you expect to hear out of his mouth.
Because he looks like a little kid.
He looks
really?
Like he's a 17-year-old boy going, chocolate rain.
He's terrible. 25. That's his real deep voice. He says it is not fake. He actually is so far presenting to the world that he is serious about the music career, and he has other MP3s up there also. He says, yeah, this is my stuff, and I'm trying to make it.
Chocolate
trying to make it
clouds.
But, you know, he's standing in front of like a wood paneled, you know, he's at a rec room or something like that with wood paneling on the back. And one of the things that's so funny about him, besides the fact that he's a skinny little guy with this enormous voice, he's got these huge glasses on, is that he moves away from the mic after every line to breathe.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he does that, but there's actually text on the screen that explains that he does that.
He's moving away from the microphone so that he can breathe.
So for whatever reason, Tay Zonday and Chocolate Rain, and that's all you need to know is the words Chocolate Rain to find it on YouTube. For whatever reason, it has spawned a whole cottage industry of people who have done parodies, people who have done covers, people who have done answer records, celebrities have gotten involved.
What's an answer record?
I'm telling you, it's
white
just
white rain.
There's one called Vanilla Snow, for instance, that's out there. I mean, it's insane how big it's gotten and how fast it's gotten. And this is one of the reasons I love the internet, because it's so much more interactive. I mean, something like this could never work on television. It just could. So here's just some tiny clips of some of what else is out there. After you've enjoyed Chocolate Rain, maybe then you want to look for the cover version that is actually put up of a nun with an acoustic guitar singing the song. I don't know why a nun needs to get involved, but she's up there. She's doing her version of the song.
She feels it, man. She feels the Chocolate Rain. Again, if you want to go to krock.com, there is a link on the very front page of krock.com for Chocolate Rain, the original, and then something else that we're going to play in a second.
There's a video of a guy in a Darth Vader suit singing Chocolate Rain. I don't understand the tie-in
yeah,
there.
That's one of my favorites.
I mean, I don't get what that's all about. Then, you know, you go past Darth Vader. The next thing you know, you guys know who McGruff the crime dog is?
Yeah.
Government came up with him. He's a little, you know, a public service announcement dog that tells you how to keep your house safe. For some reason, they've got a puppet up there playing the keyboard and singing the song.
Chocolate Rain.
That's McGruff right there.
Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
It sounds like the same voice. Did they use the same, the dude?
Yeah, it's not the same guy. No, it's a different guy. I love what some of the dance guys have done, some of the remix guys. Here's one called the 8-Bit Remix, and they've made an awesome video for this that makes it look like you're watching a video game as you're listening to this melody go along. I mean, it's so funny that a song so bad would capture so many people's imagination.
Do you think
you know?
That's why it captured? Because people are I can't even figure out what it's about.
No, 100%. If you watch this video, the whole time, any reasonable person tells themselves that this was a 65-year-old white guy that was balding and was singing in a very operatic manner, this would never have taken off. It's the fact that it's like a 25-year-old Sri Lankan kid that looks like he would have the voice of a mouse.
Yeah.
And he just belts it out.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how this happened, but on The Best Week Ever, the VH1 show that they do, where they basically do a recap of the week's news, John Mayer was one of the guests, the musician John Mayer.
Right.
And he's on there with a black guy who's one of the comedians that they have interviewing on the show. And for some reason, they're doing an interview about something else, and he just breaks out in Chocolate Rain. John Mayer starts just singing Chocolate Rain out of nowhere. He has no idea what the melody is, but he does give it a good effort.
Chocolate rain, chocolate's falling. On my window, in my car.
Huh?
Chocolate rain from the sewer.
Okay, I can feel that.
To the plumbing.
Okay.
In a jar.
Ooh! Chocolate rain!
You don't know this rain falling down.
He's going for it.
Rain! Smells a little bit of poopy poopy.
All right, I don't really need the poopy part, John Mayer, but thank you very much for
who's
that.
Who's the idiot in the background?
Well, that's the other black guy who's just one of the comedians, you know, that they have doing
Tourette's?
I don't know what he's doing. Now, here's my favorite, and then we're going to debut a brand new piece of the puzzle for the legacy of Chocolate Rain that we created here at K-Rock yesterday. But here's my favorite of the ones that are currently online. This is Trey Cool, the drummer for Green Day, okay? And he parodies the video. I mean, he does the exact same movements as Tay Zonday does in the video, where he's going back and forth on the microphone. He's got the headphones on. He's standing in front of the wood paneling. You know what I mean? He knows none of the words, but he's such a funny guy that he just makes stuff up. Here's a little bit of his version of the Chocolate Rain. Trey Cool from Green Day.
Chocolate Rain. I don't know the words again, but Chocolate Rain. Seldom mentioned on the radio, Chocolate Rain. It's the fear your leaders call control, Chocolate Rain. Worse than swearing, worse than calling names, Chocolate Rain. Then it's say it publicly insane, Chocolate Rain.
Here's my favorite one.
No one wants to hear about it now, Chocolate Rain. Orlando Bloom was good in that one movie, Chocolate Rain.
You know what I mean? He's just making it up. But it's a great effort.
Now we know why he doesn't sing.
Right, exactly. So anyway, so that's what's out there right now. By the way, there's something like 4,000 different Chocolate Rain videos up on YouTube.
4,000?
Right, yeah, it's insane. It's crazy.
People in this country aren't working hard enough.
I'd like to suggest 4,001, however.
Yeah, really? Now I've not heard. I guess we got a world premiere right here, right?
Our intern, Shaolin Robot, who we've had for about, I don't know, a month or so.
Yeah.
Who's out of her mind. She dumpster dives. She did Cantonese Aroki. You might remember her from that.
Locked
she's a UCLA student. And she locked out of her room at 3 a.m. We asked her what she was doing. She said chilling. She doesn't talk to her dad. I mean, there's something crazy every day about her. But she, apparently Chocolate Rain struck a chord. And so she decided to do the song. And you can hear the song now, but you can also go to krock.com on the front page and watch the video.
Oh,
now
great.
We're talking.
Of Shaolin Robot singing Chocolate Rain.
Shaolin Rain. Computer chips are what's inside my brain. Shaolin Rain. I eat dog and drive like I'm insane. Shaolin Rain. Please update the code in my hard drive. Shaolin Rain. I dumpster dive in order to survive. Cafe you.
Oh, Cantonese.
Each I tang or churn go. Cafe you.
Come on, international hit right there.
How about that? That's fantastic.
And there's already a video up of her singing at frontpagekrock.com.
That's great news, because we've had a lot of people who have heard her and have fallen deeply in love with her on the radio, as we have, and have said, I've got to see me some Shaolin Robot. Now you can. It's up on the website.
So there you go. Chocolate Rain. Go to YouTube and search it if you want to, and you'll see 4,000 videos. Who said they have too much time on their hands? You, Mike? Lisa?
I did,
people
yeah.
have way too much time on their hands.
Remember that time that band came in that's fronted by that midget? Remember that? That's cool.
You must be talking about Paramore. Haley and Josh are here in the room, and I guess Jeremy and Zach are in the other room, and you guys are going to be performing live in just a few minutes. Now, I should mention before we, because I don't know where the interview is going to go, but I just want to tell you, Josh, that your mom called. She is streaming krock.com. She is listening live this morning, so that watch your potty mouth, okay?
All right, I will.
That was a funny phone call for Dave to pick up.
That's got
to
be weird.
My son's in the band.
I'm going to be listening.
Weird.
Yeah. You want to tell her to tune out, or you're all right?
Yeah, Mom, tune out.
Yeah. Whenever my mom comes to town, I tell her that we can't get the station at my house because I don't want her to listen.
You know, it's just very wise.
It makes it worse.
So for a lot of people, Paramore, they're like, who are they? They're new. I kind of heard something about them. How'd they get on the bill? But you guys are one of these bands that's like the multi-year overnight sensation, right? You guys have been working your ass off for some time to get to this point, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've been around. I guess we really formed in like 04, 05. So
that's pretty quick compared to some bands. I mean, really, some bands it takes forever to get there. But you were telling us you had done some shows in the past to make money. Like, but you said for political rallies.
Well, yeah. Myself and Jeremy, we were in Jeremy's our bass player. We were in this funk cover band. And
what kind of songs would you play at a political?
Well,
thing?
We actually it wasn't like. they were all drunk, so
okay, well, that's good.
We played like a lot of funk music. We played Chaka Khan and Rufus. Parliament Funkadelic. It was a good time.
That's maybe the weirdest start ever. We've talked to a lot of bands before, and they always say, oh, some bands do covers, which I know some of you guys did, cover
Josh
bands.
And Zach.
But for political stuff, that's a little
it was weird.
Different.
You're right.
Although it makes Jeremy a hell of a bass player. I mean, if you can get out there and do Parliament Funkadelic, then you can pretty much handle anything, right? I mean, that's great training as a musician, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So you guys got together 2004-2005, mm-hmm. and you've put out one or two CDs.
We've put out two records.
Two. Mm-hmm. The last one was All We Know Is Falling.
That's correct.
Okay.
And then the current one is Riot.
Riot.
So we have Riot, the song that we've been playing here from, I'm sorry, Riot's
Misery
CD.
Business.
We have Misery Business that we've been playing here on K-Rock. Tell us about that song.
Misery Business, it was one of the first songs we wrote for the record. Man, it's kind of...
You're really tiny.
Oh.
I mean, I don't mean that to be... I'm not trying to be mean, but... Yeah. I remember when we had Mini-Me in. You remember that, Bean?
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
And I could not see his head over the board. I couldn't see him on the other
wow.
side of the room.
That's what Haley's like, yeah.
Not quite. I'm sorry. But you're cute and small. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. You were saying. I apologize.
Oh, no. It's totally cool. It's not like I've never heard it before.
Misery Business.
Misery Business. It's okay. About this chick who sort of came into our lives, like mine and the guys' lives, at one point, and just sort of used sex and her body to kind of overpower one of our friends. And it really hurt us because we were just all really young. We'd never seen someone have that much control over another person. And
right.
I guess 2.5, 3 years later, after harboring much anger from it, we wrote a song about it.
Fantastic.
But let's not discourage using sex as a weapon. I mean, there are times where it is appropriate, right? I mean, you're not saying don't ever do that. You're just saying choose your targets. Be careful, right?
Yeah. Choose your targets.
Haley's really more of a chicken McNugget than she is an actual person. I mean, she's so, like, you can like put her in the palm of your hand, pretty much.
My gosh.
But you have to hear that all the time because the juxtaposition of your huge voice.
Oh,
I mean,
thanks.
You really have a powerful voice.
And as Psycho Mike has told us all.
They gotta be looking for, like, somebody off stage to be actually doing the voice. Right.
Psycho Mike has told us, because he's seen you before, that you have a very powerful stage presence as well. And I think that that also maybe is a little bit of a juxtaposition from the fact that you're an actual midget.
She's not a midget, Bean.
Now,
How tall are you, Haley?
Like 5'1", maybe? I don't know.
Well, I think 4'11", by the way. I think that's a cutoff for midget.
But when you guys fly, when you're lucky enough to fly, when you're out of the van, you're not on the Warped Tour or something like that, you fly, they just check you as as carry-on, right? I mean, you don't even have to get a seat, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I just hop in Josh's backpack.
Oh, man, I so envy that. Because they don't make seats for anyone on a plane that's over 5'8". You can't put your head back. You fall.
True.
All this crap. That would be great.
This is half of Paramore in the studio, the world-famous K-Rock. The other half is here, too. We're going to be hearing them all perform live in just a few minutes. I have to ask you this because, you said 2004, 2005, and you've come a long way. I mean, being on a show like ours and having the reception that you've had with this new Riot CD – I'm sure people ask you all the time, but I mean, what's the secret? What advice do you give to the people even younger than you that come up to you and go, I want to be where you are? It's so hard to cut through these days and to get noticed. What's the secret there?
Man.
When you guys came from Tennessee, too, it doesn't seem like that's...
Yeah. it really, honestly, for us, it was just that our love for music, like, we're so passionate about it and we work so hard. Work really does pay off in the end.
Yeah.
And these days, you know, the music industry is all over the place. You know, who knows what's going to sell, what's going to do well. But we just, you know, put all of our hearts into it, and we're, you know, willing to accept whatever
And it wasn't like you guys were going to take your lives if you didn't get a record deal. You were just doing it for the love of playing music.
For love,
totally.
Right.
For love.
And was the Warped Tour, was that the biggest key component in terms of developing that fan base going out there year after year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I really... credit Warped Tour for, I mean, just about everything we've done, I think, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Lyman is, from day one, just been our biggest supporter. I mean, he's amazing.
The CD is Riot. The new single is Misery Business. We have Paramore in the studios. Which song are you going to do for us first?
We're going to play Misery Business.
Fantastic. Live music on K-Rock.
Ready? One, two, three.
From the top, she's got a body like an hourglass, it's ticking like a clock. It's a matter of time before we all run out. When I thought he was mine, she caught him by the mouth. I waited 8 long months, she finally set him free. I told him I couldn't lie, he was the only one for me. 2 weeks and we were caught on fire. She's getting out for me, but I wear the biggest smile. Whoa, I never meant to pray, but I got him where I want him now. Whoa, it was never my intention to break or steal it all away from you now. But God, does it feel so good, 'cause I got him where I want him now. And if you could, then you know you would, 'cause God, it just feels so, it just feels so good. Now second chances, they don't ever matter. People never change. Once a whore, you're nothing more. I'm sorry, that'll never change. And about forgiveness, we're both supposed to have exchange. I'm sorry, Yanni, but I passed it up. Now look this way. There's a million other girls who do it just like you. The thing is, it's impossible to get to who they want and what they like. It's easy if you do it right. Well, I refuse, I refuse, I refuse.
Fantastic. Wow.
Thanks.
The band is Paramore, not spelled like you'd expect. It's P-A-R-A-M-O-R-E, and the website is paramore.net. We have time. If you guys would mind blessing us with another song, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I think we're going to play an older song from our first record. So this is Pressure.
Fantastic.
Enjoy it.
I'm going to count this off.
Okay, Zach's going to count us off.
I do that. One, two, three, four.
Time well spent. Just don't let me fall asleep feeling empty again. I fear I might break, and I fear I can't take it. So tonight I lie awake feeling empty. I can feel the pressure. It's getting closer now, and the better off without you. There's nothing left to show for all of the days that we spent carried away from home. Some things I'll never know, and I had to let them go. Well, I'm sitting all alone, feeling empty. I can feel the pressure. It's getting closer now, and we're better off without you. Closer now, and we're better.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you, guys.
I missed the story out of El Salvador. What do you know about these prisoners? What was going on down there, Ralph?
Well, apparently, in a maximum security prison, authorities found four prisoners that were smuggling cell phones inside the prison. Now, how they were smuggling them sounded painful at best.
I'm just trying to think. They just don't let you carry something into prison. I mean, you pretty much have to hide it, right?
No. I mean, and there's been a long history of people smuggling stuff into prisons for years. I mean, drugs and weapons and that kind of stuff. But as far as I can tell, this is the first time they took x-rays of the inmates and, inmates and found out that they had smuggled cell phones wrapped in plastic bags into their bodies, up their butts.
No.
Cell phones.
Authorities found 9 cell phone chips, as well as the cell phones stuffed up the butts of these four guys, and 1 cell phone charger.
Well, you got to have a charger.
Because really, once it, you know, the battery goes down, they're no good.
Oh, my God.
Do prisoners in El Salvador have electricity in their cells? Do they have a place to plug in their phone to recharge it?
I don't know if they have electricity up their butts. He was plugged in up his ass. That's where he was charging the phone, actually.
Wow, 9 cell phones. I'd give up one of those cell phones and bring an iPod or something. I'd mix it up a little bit. But
4 guys, 4 cell phones, 9 cell phone chips, and 1 cell phone charger were found.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Inside the 4 cellmates.
And they were using those cell phones to continue to run their crime operations outside the prison, right?
That's what they planned. Apparently, they were extorting business owners. They were a very organized gang, and this way they could call from inside the prison and still carry on their illegal activities.
That's funny. Well, we wanted to find out more about this because, let's face it, most of us on this show, pretty clueless when it comes to prison. But we do have a K-Rock listener named Rudy, who you know from his Raider updates. And let's dial him up right now, because if anybody knows about this, like, is this happening in America, too? What do you guys think? I don't know.
Rudy's done some time. Maybe he knows. He's the guy to ask. Call him and see what he's up to. Probably still getting over the Raiders loss.
Oh, that was rough. Yeah.
Hello. Hello,
Rudy.
Hey,
Rudy.
What's up, guys?
Rudy. Rudy, you're right.
Yeah. What's happening? You guys call me. Want to talk about jail?
This connection is bad.
Yeah. What's going on with the phone? Where did we reach you, Rudy?
Yeah, I'm in prison. Eh? I'm in Twin Towers, downtown LA.
You're inside now. You're in jail now, as we call.
Yeah, man. I got a little trouble over the weekend. You know, like, I was playing like a Raiders pickup game. You know.
Yeah.
And like, we were all arguing. I was arguing with Ghost Dog, that homeboy from La Cienega. He goes, hey, I want to be Randy Moss. And I'm like, nah, dog, I'm Randy Moss. And he's like, nah, bitch, I'm Randy Moss. And we're down at MacArthur Park, so, you know, I had to handle my business. I shank him a couple times, you know.
There's okay, hold on, Rudy, hold on a second.
The popos, they handcuff me.
Yeah, I can't listen. This phone
we
is
can't,
disconnected.
Is there anything you can do with the phone?
Are you on a phone there in the jail?
Listen, I think I can clear up the connection real quick. Hold on.
Oh, wait a minute.
Much better.
Was that cell phone in your ass?
Hell yeah.
Rudy.
They don't allow you have no cell phones in prison, but I thought you got to do what you got to do, eh?
Oh, no wonder it was that odd, muffled echo sound.
Oh, man, I should have used a smaller cell phone. I use a rotary phone. I don't know.
Cell phones?
Yeah, if one of you got like a Razor or one of them new chocolate dogs,
yeah.
Be fitting if it was a chocolate phone, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, like, it would be fitting, yes.
But man, yeah, it was an old Pac Bell, man. Damn.
Rudy, are you? Well, that sounds very
man.
Painful.
Yeah, what's up, babe? All right, so what
are you? Are you holding that phone with your hand right now? You pull it right from your ass, then right to your face?
Yeah, no problems, eh? It kind of smells like my cellmate's pee pee.
Oh, stop it.
You know what I'm saying?
So, listen.
You got to prepare for the situation, you know what I'm saying?
So,
yeah, okay. You're swapping the poop deck.
So apparently there is cell phone smuggling going on even in prisons here in the United States.
Yeah, no, you know what I'm saying, dog? Like, you still got to handle your business once you're in prison, you know what I'm saying? Just because you get locked up doesn't mean you can't handle your business on the streets, you know what I'm saying? Like, little Trigger, my cousin,
right.
You know, he's got his weed business down in El Monte, you know what I'm saying, off Peck Road, you know, so he needs me. I got connections now inside, so, like, sometimes he needs me to... darn.
What is that?
What's that?
Whose phone is that, Rudy?
It's my phone. It's probably Stagger. Hold on real quick.
He's got another phone in his ass?
What's up? Yeah. Nah. Listen, I'm on the phone with Kevin and Bean, bitch. I can't talk right now, right? All right. I talked to my lawyer earlier. All right. Listen, I got to go. I'm on the radio, all right? Whatever. Hey, what's up, guys?
So that's... Rudy...
You pulled a phone out of your ass to talk to us, and then another phone rang in your ass, too?
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would I limit myself to one line? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Room?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like discomfort? The DEA, they'd be phone tapping me or whatever. I got a couple of lines. You know what I'm saying? They can't handle me.
Well, now, what's that?
What's that one?
Rudy. That's probably... Oh, man.
You have another phone?
Yeah, it's probably Victor. Oh!
Oh. That one's got to hurt.
Hello? Oh, that sounded like a payphone.
It was a BlackBerry. Hey, oh, wow. Now it's a BrownBerry.
Everybody has to take their time. Everybody has to sit in the hot seat at least once.
And emos, today's your day.
A few days ago, we got on the topic of the emo kids. There was a Fox News story about the very disturbing trend that we, frankly, are against. And I think we were very outspoken about saying, don't go out and beat up emo kids, videotape it, put it up on the internet, and then send us the link where we can see it. That would be wrong, and we do not encourage you to do that. If you're a part of a video like this,
emo, get him.
We don't want to have anything to do with it. And then somehow we got on the topic of the emo jokes that are going around. And there are a lot of them, and they're great. And we need to bring them to you on the air, because nothing's funnier than an emo kid. And as Lisa points out, they're already sad. Why do you have to make them sadder?
Do you have that clip of the girl that's talking about the birds? Because that was a perfect example from that news piece.
Everything is falling apart, and, like, birds are dying. I mean, birds are dying, and it's like... hard, you know, to like wake up every day and know that like there are bad things happening, and this bird was just like a symbol of that.
Yeah,
right.
So why would anyone want to joke around about a poor emo kid like that? But then, you know, people started writing us, you know, how many emo kids does it take to screw in a light bulb? You know, F them, just let them cry in the dark. I saw that one. And by the way, speaking of how many emo kids does it take to screw in a light bulb, the alternate version is you need three, one to replace it and two to write a poem about how much they miss the old one. So there's a lot of different ways you can go with the emo kids. How do you know an emo kid has been in your bathtub? The body is still there. It's no that. I mean, that's really more the kind of emo joke we're looking for.
Let's say good morning to Sean in Monrovia. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Sean.
Hey. Emo joke.
Yeah, I have a emo boy in my family tree. He's been hanging there for years.
Oh.
See?
Because.
Yeah.
Got it.
See the twist that took?
Uh-huh.
Steve in Highland. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Steve.
What's your emo joke?
Hey, mine is, how does an emo... why does an emo wear his girlfriend's pants?
It was well delivered, but what's the punchline?
It's the only way he'll ever get in them.
Oh, I gotcha.
See, Lisa, because he doesn't have skills.
Right.
Oh, never mind.
Right. Then how does he have a girlfriend? I don't know.
Laurel in Newport Beach, hello.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Laurel.
Emo jokes, what do you got?
Okay, why do emo kids wear their pants so tight?
Why do they wear their pants so tight? I give up.
Do you pump all their heart, or blood to their tiny little hearts?
Okay.
David, what do you got?
How do you keep an emo kid from drowning?
How do you keep an emo kid from drowning? I don't know.
Take your foot off his head.
That's a good one.
That's terrible. That's an awful joke.
That's a good one.
That's not even funny. So don't do that.
Take your foot off his neck. All right. Nick in Simi Valley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Emo joke. What do you got?
Why do emo kids wear hair over their face?
Oh, good question. I've always wanted to know why.
To hide their black eyes.
That's good.
I wonder if he saw Spider-Man and the emo look that he had going.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man had
what's
the
with
eyeliner.
The new emo Spider-Man, exactly.
And he pulled the hair down over his eyes. I was like, what? Spider-Man's gone emo? Are you kidding
me? He has. He's got the black costume, the whole deal. You're absolutely right. He's listening to My Chemical Romance albums.
Jamie in Irvine. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Why did the emo kid cross the road?
When did the emo kid cross the road? Right. I give up.
To get run over.
Okay. Maybe we'll end there.
You're going to end on that one?
The drowning might have been our peak.
Yeah, I'm worried that we're going downhill fast.
Dude,
I'm worried it'll get worse if we take Joe's
call. We can't end on why did emo cross the road. Joe?
Yes.
Give me a good emo joke so we can get out.
What would you call the Flintstones if they were emo?
What would you call the Flintstones if they were emo? I give up.
All right, what?
Pussies.
I don't get it.
What is it?
Because
pussies, because anybody who would be emo, you would go ahead and just call them that.
I didn't even hear that word.
I thought he said posties.
All right, let's try, I did too. Let's try Jake in Redondo Beach. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, the emo kid came home from school and told his dad he lost his virginity. His dad said, well, son, you have any questions? He said, yeah, I got one. When's my butt going to quit hurting?
Aww.
All right, just
let's
one
try
more
one
because
more.
We got to go out on an up note.
This
here,
is going to be a good one.
You think Jeff would look into Gail? You feel good about him?
I do, yes.
All right, Jeff.
Go ahead.
All right, what do you have when you have an emo kid buried up to his neck in cement?
What do you have when you have an emo kid buried up to his neck in cement?
Mm-hmm.
I give up.
What?
Not enough cement.
Okay, all right. All right, there you go. That's
not enough cement.
We're sorry, emo kids.
Don't
cut yourself.
No.
What happens when you put one guy that no one can tell what the hell he's talking about together with another guy that nobody can tell what the hell he's talking about? Well, Jed interviews Bob Dylan. That's good. This week on Jed the Fish's Catch of the Day, which is a new music feature that he does every afternoon on his program here, he played a song from an up-and-coming young artist from Hibbing, Minnesota that I think has a lot of promise. I think this kid's going far. And his name is Bob Dylan. Is that who we're talking about here?
Bob Dylan. Yeah.
Oh, that guy.
He played a remix of a Bob Dylan song, and we have Jed in the studio with us now to talk about that. Good morning, Jed. How are you?
Hat's alpaca.
Okay. Okay. How did you pick a Bob Dylan remix for your catch of the day?
My aunt was making rhubarb pie, and she accidentally substituted salt for sugar and made it bitter.
I think the answer Kevin was looking for there is this is the first ever authorized Bob Dylan remix, and it's done by the great DJ Mark Ronson, and that's why you thought it would be interesting
Ronson,
for the listeners to hear what that sounds like.
Ronson, Jedum Fish.
Here's a little taste of that song.
I just can't do what I've done before. I just can't beg you anymore.
Seriously, that's a joke voice, right? That's someone making fun of Bob Dylan.
That was a very popular song for him about 40 years ago, and it has now been brought into the 21st century with the remix. I think it's outstanding.
Thank God.
I love it.
Now, Jed, did you talk to Bob? Was he on your program?
Actually, I did. It was shocking to me that we were able to line up an interview with Mr. Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
And because sometimes you're nice to me and we can be friends before it starts getting emotional and you turn away from the conversation.
Right.
I thought maybe I'd bring in that interview for you to play here. It's a little rough, but
nice.
I'd let you debut it here instead of my own show. Here's my interview with Bob Dylan Care Q. It's 106.7 K-Rock Hero Q. Jed the Fish here. A couple days ago, I played a real interesting song from Mark Ronson where he was using audio from a Bob Dylan song that I really like it. It's interesting. And luckily, I was able to line up a musical legend. Here he is, Mr. Bob Dylan on the phone. Hello. You're stirring me right now. Do you prefer to wash your clothes with bleach in your detergent or regular without the bleach?
What?
What if your name was Posterior Prostitute?
I'm talking about music and the song.
Are you a big fan of Terrence Trent D'Arby's earlier work? Or are you more fond of his more avant-garde stuff after he fell out of commercial spotlight?
Yeah, idiot.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dylan.
Hey, give me a good detergent and Terrence D'Arby.
And now at your extended age, do your balls hang a bit lower?
Hey,
Do you finger paint? Have you ever been a fan of finger painting? I'm sorry, what? In all your years that you were a drug abuser, have you ever sucked?
Yes. Anyway,
I think that went well.
I do too. Yeah.
You think your job is bad? Not as bad as this guy's.
Dirty Jobs is the show, Tuesday nights at 9 on Discovery. Ladies and gentlemen, how about Mike Rowe in the studio of the world-famous K-Rock? Geez, how about that?
Geez, you're too kind.
Boy, is Alex, our assistant producer, moist right now for Mike's appearance. I'll tell you that.
Jeez.
Should I
play the theme song for Dirty Jobs as we get started?
Now everyone who's got a job has got his dues to pay. Working for a paycheck and getting through the day. But if you're bored or otherwise inclined to be a slob, grab some boots and lose that suit and get a dirty job. Fight a fire or tread a tire or ride a garbage truck. Save a seal or make some meal or manage miles of muck. Misbehave inside a cave with 40 million bats. Find some friendly roaches in a sewer filled with rats. Dirty jobs, they're everywhere. Just take a look around. Down the street or up the stairs or even underground.
I didn't realize it was a full song.
Neither did I. Jeez.
I thought it was just an intro.
I wrote that on a plane coming back from I don't know where on a napkin. And
really?
This is how weird.
How would the people that you sung opera with think of that song?
They don't talk to me anymore. Yeah. And it's just as well.
Mike, you get asked this question all the time. Forgive me. But I know our audience is thinking the same thing. How do they find the regular people to do these jobs that you profile on TV? What kid wakes up and says, I know what I'm going to be when I grow up, is a guy who cleans septic tanks? Where do these people come from?
You know, I think they've always been here. And, you know, it's a simple show with big themes. And one of the biggest themes is, Rosie the Riveter is not really dead and gone. And that whole sort of work ethic that a lot of people remember from their father and grandfather, it's still out there, and so are the jobs. They just don't get the press and the spin and the promotion anymore. So
right, but if you're going to be the guy who gets up and has a physical, 9-to-5 working hard job, why would you choose septic tank cleaner when you could choose plumber, you could choose digger, you could choose any number of other things that aren't as dirty?
Wouldn't you think that it's people who don't have any other options?
Yeah, I don't think it's
well,
choose.
You would,
it's
but
just
it's,
what's available.
But you know what? What I found is that's really not the case.
Choose it.
Well, the septic tank guy is a great example. He's one of the first people we met. Les Swanson was his name. And
I remember that episode.
Yeah, I was up in Wisconsin, and I'm in a pumping station with him. Literally, we're up to our nipples in other people's raw sewage.
Wow.
It's as bad as it can be.
Right.
And it's 110 degrees, and I look at him, and I say, Les, what the hell, man? How did this happen? And he said, before this, I just got tired of my old job, and I wanted to try something else. And I said, well, what were you doing? And he said, I was a psychologist.
What?
And now, I swear to God, I look at him, and I said, well, why would you leave that to do this? And without missing a beat, and he wasn't joking, he said, I got tired of dealing with other people's crap.
See? See what he did?
And you know what? I mean, yeah, it's good for a laugh, but the truth is that guy's day is full of visual cues. You know, he knows how he's doing. He knows when he's done. He works 8 hours. He goes home. The wife's waiting. The beer's cold. His life makes sense.
Yes.
Right, and he leaves it behind. Doesn't have to take his work home with him. Right?
Give me your first thoughts. I'm just going to throw out some of the jobs you've done and just what comes to your mind first. Bug breeder.
That was actually the worst smell. Bug breeder in the bug room in Oklahoma at Skulls International, where they use domestic beetles to clean the flesh off of skulls that they're preparing for laboratories and science and such. Terrible.
Avian vomitologist.
Ultimate entrepreneurial job. Don Ciccoletti picks up hunks of vomit in the forest, expectorated by owls. Inside of the vomit are the skeletal remains of the creature swallowed whole and digested. He sells them to schools. The kids rearticulate the skeletons.
Garbage pit technician.
Absolute bloodbath. There is a an entire chamber underneath most normal dumps where all of the garbage is transferred. It's the seventh level of hell, and those guys in San Francisco earn their money.
Parade float dismantler.
Perhaps the most liberating day I've had on the job, with a pick, a hammer, a sledgehammer, a blowtorch, and a giant bandsaw, I was given the opportunity to disassemble all of the parade floats in the Rose Bowl parade. I hate parades, personally. This was a great day for me.
It was a vendetta.
It was.
Gandhi dancer.
Back-breaking work. Spent the next day in the hospital getting a disc repaired. Gandhi dancing.
I don't even know what that is, by the way.
Railroad work.
Oh.
So you're basically on one of those carts. You're pushing yourself around. You get to a broken railroad tie. You hop off.
That's named poorly.
It truly is.
Hippo pool cleaner.
Not bad. Little scuba diving, really. The bollusks, or the poo from the hippo, are tremendous in and of themselves in both size and volume. So removing them is much easier than a lot of other animal
and
waste.
And finally, QVC host.
Maybe the bottom.
Yeah, that's as low as it gets.
Yeah, and that's where I
Mike
started.
Mike knows more about poo, by the way, than most Americans. Hey, give me Lindsay, please. She's down in Ventura, and she's on line 5. Lindsay, you're on the air with Mike Rowe, host of Dirty Jobs on Discovery. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Lindsay.
Mike, I love your show.
Thanks.
I look forward to Tuesdays for just because of Dirty Jobs. But I have to ask, how many shots have you had in the time frame that you've been doing this?
You mean like
show?
Vaccinations and whatnot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was an episode where you guys were like attacked by monkeys and stuff.
That was a bad one, yeah. Yeah, we all got, well, I got cut, my buddy got scraped badly, and my sound guy got bit to the bone by a vervet monkey in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. And
that happened
it
to
was
me.
Bad.
I don't recognize half of those
bad.
Words.
But, no, to answer your question, you know, your gamma globulin, your basic tetanus, your boosters, but at this point, I prefer the theory that says we've developed a natural immunity, because we've been around a lot of bad things for a long time.
Your immune system's probably stronger than all of us.
It's, you know, it's got me here.
Wow.
Yeah,
right. Thank
that's
you
right.
for the call.
Great question. Let's do the flip side of that question with Ben. He is in Corona. Hi, Ben. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. You got a question for Mike? Go ahead.
Hey, party people. That flip side of that question, I guess, would be, you know, what does it cost to insure you and your crew because of the filth you come in contact with?
Man, I so hope the network's listening, because the insurance issue for me for a long time was tough. Eventually, Lloyd's of London took a policy out on me.
Really?
And,
wow.
But yeah, it was about a year or so where things were kind of up in the air. And really, when you send in the description of what you do, they just laugh at you. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's forget it.
Yeah, of course. First of all, they probably don't even believe it exists. But.
Yeah, so you get bit by sharks on purpose. Great. Sign here. That's, you're in.
I got to ask you this, because we've done this topic before, bad jobs that our listeners have. And the one that seems to be the worst is the mopping up of the floor in the adult theater. You ever done that?
You mean created the mess or helped clean it up?
No.
Clean it up.
The cleanup crew, yeah.
Well, I guess both. I mean, if you have an interesting story.
I prefer to clean up after myself, but no. Yeah.
You've never done that. That's even below.
No. No. I mean, look, this is the Discovery Channel, and some things are best left undiscovered.
I agree. Let's close with Megan in Orange County with our final question. Again, Mike Rowe, terrific guest, a terrific show, too. Dirty Job and Discovery. Megan, you get the final word with Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Great. Thanks.
Okay. I absolutely adore you. I watch you on the marathons just so I can see you all day long. But I have a question for you. I'm a dirty girl. How can you clean me up?
Excellent.
Well, now.
Great. All right.
Right.
Well, it's not just me, Megan. There are going to be 3 cameramen, a sound guy, and a PA. So
the more the merrier.
How dirty are you?
I'm pretty dirty.
We're on our way.
It's a dating game now.
Sounds to me like a love connection.
We're
thank you, Megan.
Way.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
You bet, guys.
Remember this past year at the fight when that MTV award show broke out? I certainly do.
Of course, Tommy Lee and Kid Rock get in a fight. But
okay.
I don't know if you've seen Tommy Lee's website and his version of what happened at the MTV Video Music Awards. But
well, it was clearly all Kid Rock's fault. I mean, that's the one thing I take away from Tommy's description of the events.
Right, that's true. We have Tommy on the phone. Good morning, Tommy.
What's up?
How's it going?
You guys rip.
So according to according to your website, you're just
website's bananas.
Right.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there minding your own business.
Totally.
You're not doing anything.
Totally, bro.
road is mine and my business.
Pamela comes over and sits on your lap and starts making out with you.
Oh, that ripped.
Right.
That totally ripped. I got a boner, almost passed out from all the blood rushing to my big boner. That is wild.
Hey, Tommy, before we move on.
What's up?
Well, before we move on to Kid Rock coming into the picture, why were you sitting at the MTV Video Music Awards with your, as you call him, friend, Chris Angel? Isn't that dude just a douche?
No, man. He's magic. It's wild. Rips, man. You ever see him do magic? It's bananas.
Yeah?
Oh, it's so awesome. He's got eyeliner that he does magic. Rips.
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, it's wild. Out of control.
All right. So basically, your version of what happened was you were sitting there minding your own business.
Totally.
Pamela was interested in you, came over and said hi.
Yeah.
And then Kid Rock attacked.
That's what happened, man.
That's it.
I was like minding my own, just ripping, you know? I was just rocking and shredding, just minding my own business. And, you know, Kid Pebble. Bananas.
Yeah. Yeah, you call him Kid Pebble on your website.
Yeah, man. He just comes up and he attacks me, man.
Can I just suggest that Kid Pebble is not much of a burn?
Oh, bananas.
But let me ask you this, Tommy. I mean, you're a guy who has rock credentials. You've toured the world for 25 years as the drummer for Motley Crue. Does it really, if you're sitting in a room minding your own business, does that qualify in your mind anymore as rocking and shredding?
Oh, well, yeah, because I was ripping and shredding. Pam's got big knockers. She's on my lap. It's raw bananas.
Right.
Oh, turbo jet rad.
Okay, now what about the fact that when she was on stage, you were whistling and she was telling you in front of everyone to stop it?
Ah, well, she's a chick, man. You don't listen to her, bro. You just rip, you know? Don't listen to a woman. Just shred, rip.
So it sounds like, and I know you guys have stayed friendly because of the children, but it sounds like you miss her very much. It sounds like she's still the one for you, Tommy.
She stole my heart. You know what I'm saying? I got
it
inked on my heart, mm-hmm. like a picture of Pamela. It's like artistic, man, because on my heart, it says Pamela.
Right.
She's got my heart. You
I think we understand that.
Yeah. Ripped.
Okay, so the apology that's on your website isn't much of an apology. You say that Kid Rock punched you. The security came in. They all fought over you. Then they took you out of the place. And you said, I would like to apologize to Alicia Keys and MTV for the disrespectful BS caused by a piece of S called Kid Pebble.
What?
So you're apologizing. You wrote that, right?
What?
We're talking about your account on the website and your apology on the website for the altercation at the MTV Video Music Awards.
All right, yeah, okay, I get it now. Yeah.
Not much of an apology if you're speaking for the other guy, but not you.
Yeah, well, look, man, it's just like sometimes thoughts come to me, you know, and
right.
It's like bananas, I just write them down, you know? So if it's not much of an apology, whatever, you know, it's just like how I feel, man.
Tommy,
I can just be me. I can't fake the funk. Rip.
Tommy, is it possible for thoughts to come to you and it not be bananas?
No, it could be mango.
Okay.
All right, one more thing. You described...
Totally.
You say it wasn't even a punch at all. It was more like a bitch slap is how you describe what Kid Rock laid on you. Is that true?
Yeah, man. It felt like a chick hit me, man, because he's, like, scrawny and he doesn't rock. I rip, you know? Like, when people who rip or rock or shred hit you, like, it hurts, you know? But he's like a little girl. You guys want...
I'm sorry, what?
What, Tommy?
Do we want you what? Tommy?
Yes, Tommy?
Do we want you what? Come on. Come on.
What?
We have been trying to get this question answered for years.
But you know how tough it is to get a straight answer out of a midget.
You bastards. You bastards that knew about Midget Town.
Ugh.
Midgetville, Midget Land, whatever it is. This community in Long Beach... After all the time we've been obsessed with midgets, no one called to tell us there's a community of homes in Long Beach that are three-quarter size. They're small little houses, and it's a community of midgets that live there.
Unbelievable.
Now, if you've been one of the people who has listened to this show even on and off over the years, and you've heard us take on the midgets in basketball, if you've heard us go to the midget rodeo, if you've heard us read every single story that happens around the world anywhere that involves little people, and you didn't think to call and tell us that there's a whole community in Long Beach,
bastard.
Then you struggle.
You do struggle.
Okay? You really do, and you let us down. And you are dead to me.
Right in our backyard. Midgetville or land or whatever the hell it is. Trey?
Yeah, gentlemen.
You were there a month ago.
I was there a month ago.
And you didn't think to call us the day after?
Guys, I'm really sorry.
Unbelievable.
Really sorry. I let the boys down.
You struggle.
I'm really sorry.
You do struggle. Hey, seriously, if you're ever driving down, you know, the PCH and you see Kevin Bean out drowning in the ocean, go ahead and throw us something, all right?
Sorry, guys.
Now, hook a brother
funny.
Up.
I'm really sorry.
How'd you find out about it? How'd you go there? Tell us the details.
All right, check it out. Here's the story. I was driving with my buddy, and we didn't know what to do that night, so he started talking about this midget place, and we just thought, like, oh, come on, you're full of crap.
Right, that's what we thought.
So, you know, he drove us there, and about three shots later, a couple of bowls, we were hopping the fence. We were over there, and they do have small houses. They even have small trash cans, and we were over there, and finally the security guards came up, and they asked us what we were doing. What our business was there.
Mm-hmm. Full-size security guards or little people security guards?
No. They had the big security guards. Just running.
Okay. Gary Coleman.
Yeah.
Right, go ahead.
Monster giants.
Go ahead.
They escorted you out. Now, did you see with your own eyes, did you see any of the little people or did you
I
just
did
see
not
the
see the little people.
You just saw the houses.
I was very disappointed.
But the houses are small.
Houses, they're not a little down to scale. They're not that much.
I heard three quarters.
You can tell the difference.
Huh. Okay. You know, Jimmy used to tell us, and part of the reason he was so obsessed with midgets is they let them roam freely, yet they can bite you on the ankles or whatever they want to do.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you wouldn't have gone there if you didn't know that. All right, thank you, Trey.
All right,
see, supposedly they throw stones at your car, too.
They
should. I feel sorry for little people. They have to gate themselves in so you all will leave them alone and not hop their fence. It's mean.
That is sad. All right, let's say good morning to Jason from the Long Beach. Hello, Jason.
And they're not stones. They're just marbles they're throwing at you, so that's all.
They seem like stones to them. You've seen this place? Midget Town?
Yeah, I've been there.
And they have miniature houses.
They do.
And there are midgets living in them.
There are midgets living in them, and they will chase you. Some of them will come out if you provoke them. Now,
if you provoke them.
Hold on. How did you provoke them?
If you poke them with a stick.
How did you
provoke them? We go and, like, ding-dong ditch them, try and, like, rouse them out.
God, this is awful.
And
did you toss them?
This was after a night of drinking.
Of course.
But, you know.
Now, did they come out and you saw midgets?
Yeah.
That's the greatest news
ever.
They are
midgets.
Okay. Now, what about the security? Is it there's a gate and they'll escort you out? Does that happen?
Well, the gate was put up just recently.
Oh, I see.
There's security now because the midgets started complaining.
Is the gate like 3.5 feet tall, though, so you can just step over it? Right.
No, it's a normal size gate. Okay.
Do they have any house rats or anything like that that they walk around on a leash?
Yeah, they have.
Because a cat would be too big.
One time we had a chihuahua.
Nice.
Come out with them, so a midget with a chihuahua.
But they call it a German Shepherd.
Right. They call it a shepherd, right. All right, thank you, Jason.
All right.
And bye now.
Dude,
but see, but
this
then,
is awesome.
Here, see, but then we're Tara is on hold from Long Beach. Hello, is it Tara or Tara?
Tara, good morning.
Tara, you live next door, and you say it's not true.
I live. Oh no, it's true.
Oh,
I live
true.
Down the street,
okay,
and it is private, and they have a gate, and it's a nice windy road. And
if I live next door to Midget Town,
it's not
I would
exactly next door. But it's down the street.
Up the street, whatever. That would be heaven.
You'd never be able to leave your house to go to work because you'd always just want to hang out in your own neighborhood.
I would be sitting out in their driveways in a lazy chair, just sitting there watching them.
But we call it, everyone calls it Munchkin Land.
Munchkin Land, okay.
Yeah, that's what the Long Beach schools. And, you know, why people probably haven't called you about it is...
Because they're bastards and they're dead to us.
No, the rumor is, in all the schools, is they kill people. The one guy was right.
Oh, God.
They don't kill people.
Just because they're short doesn't make them murderers.
No, they're so agitated from people bothering them that the rumor is. So it's like a scary thing. It's kind of like one of those things you sneak in.
But we heard that they throw stuff at you.
Yeah, they do everything. That's the rumor.
But they don't kill people.
No. Oh,
you honestly heard that someone died there.
Oh, yeah. It's in the Virginia Country Club area.
All right, so Tara, hold on a sec. Sweetheart. Are you sure you're not thinking of Gulliver's Travels?
No.
Wow.
No, I guarantee it. No, I've grown up here in Long Beach, went out to all the Long Beach schools, and that is the rumor. And there's just...
Well, if it's a rumor, it must be true.
Yeah.
Must be true, because you can't lie about something like that.
Right.
Okay.
No. Hey, it's real, people.
It's right down the street from the lady that throws the killer poisonous spiders on you.
Oh my God!
Like the Hobbit village in Lord of the Rings. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, they're very nice.
Thank you so much for calling. You know, if we never replaced Tad, but if we had an intern right now, and I know we're thinking of getting one, this would be job one. Would be to send him down, have him hop the fence, call us from Long Beach, get us a midget.
How awesome would that be?
What do you mean by get us a midget?
Go fishing.
Bring him back.
Look, I knew a lot of Americans wanted to kill the vice president. I didn't realize they wanted to kill him overseas, too. Give me a little bit of the vice president's theme again. I love that song. Would you mind?
Absolutely. Mr. Cheney's been in the news, of course, a lot this week.
Here's the story from Bagram, Afghanistan. A suicide bomber attacked the entrance to the main U.S. military base in Afghanistan on Tuesday during a visit by Vice President Dick Cheney, killing up to 23 people and wounding 20. Cheney was unhurt in the attack, and we have him on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Mr. Vice President.
So?
No, I was just saying good morning, just saying hello to you, sir. How are you? Are you rattled a little bit by the suicide bomber?
I find that question out of line.
Well, I mean, it did just happen. There was a suicide bomber while you were in Afghanistan.
So?
Right. We were just wanting to know how you felt, if it was a little bit nerve-wracking. I mean, I know, of course, it's dangerous. You recognize that?
Of course not.
No?
That didn't bother me at all. No, I can't be killed.
What do you mean you can't be killed?
I can't be killed. What did I just say?
Well,
Are you not listening?
You said something that doesn't make sense. As human beings, we can all be killed.
I cannot.
You can't.
No.
Are you telling us you're not?
Well, except for holy water or a stake through my heart.
Okay.
Only two things that can actually hurt me.
I got you.
Maybe a silver bullet.
So not a suicide bomber. It has to be a silver bullet.
That's right. It has to be a little bit more than their lame attempts to question authority.
Right. Yeah, that's what they said it was for, yeah.
It did kill 23 people and wound 20, so they obviously got fairly close to, you know, to where people were on the base. How far away were you from the explosion, sir?
I was inside the base. And the bomb apparently went off at the gate.
The gate of the...
So I was quite a distance away. They failed to question authority.
I read that you did... you were taken to a bomb shelter for a brief segment of time.
Yes. Whenever I'm in danger, I like to go underground.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably inside a coffin. Where I rest, garner my energies, and then once again... stalk the night.
Okay. All right.
I noticed, Mr. Vice President, we rarely see you outside during the day, and now it's starting to make sense to me.
You've never seen me look in a mirror either.
No. Interesting.
Nor eat garlic.
Well, we've never really had the opportunity to see
any
of that.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
No, you're not.
All right.
So everything's fine. You're good. And how are things going in Afghanistan? Do you feel like you accomplished something?
Couldn't be better. We are on track in Afghanistan.
But the Taliban, by all accounts, sir, has been regrouping in Afghanistan and in Pakistan and is approaching the level of potency that it was before 9/11.
Well, I'm going to take care of that situation. I've invited some of the head members of the Taliban, and we're going to go hunting.
Oh.
you know what I mean. A little friendly hunting trip.
I see.
For
me
and some of the Taliban.
So you shoot them in the head.
Hey, there's a bird. There's another one. Oh, look at your face.
A little bit of a mishap.
Mr. Cheney, if you don't mind me asking, is it a coincidence that you're out of the country this week as the deliberation is going on in the trial of your former aide, Scooter Libby? Because it just seems like, I don't know, you're kind of unavailable for comment because that's coming down this week.
I find that question out of line.
Well, it's just
asked me
timing.
About my lesbo daughter. I'd rather talk about that.
Tell us about your lesbo daughter.
She's manly. She's mannish.
That's weird because you usually don't like to talk
she's
about her.
Not a feminine lady.
Well, she does seem to be playing the boy in that relationship.
Does not possess the feminine wiles. She has to shave.
So she doesn't look female-ish.
She is a manster.
Okay. Not womanly at all, is
she
what you're saying.
Would be the one to wear the strap on.
Oh,
that's the vice president.
Wow, usually you don't talk about her at all.
That's better than talking about Scooter Libby.
I guess.
Well, I got to go hunting with Scooter.
Yeah, yes, you do.
I must think of some way to keep Christmas from coming somehow.
We had a lot of breakfast this past year, but we enjoyed this one a lot. This was breakfast with corn.
I think you'll be interested in this, Jonathan, because I know, like us, you're a big Radiohead fan. Yeah. We did a breakfast with Radiohead right here in this room a couple of years ago.
Really?
And it was just like today. Just there's something about the energy here in this Studio A of Capitol Records. It's just magic. It just feels great.
It's a magic place.
It's a beautiful sounding place, too.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you guys pick Creep to do on this this particular project?
It just felt like we were trying to think of covers we were going to do, and it seemed like that song just really spoke to how I feel about, you know, that song gave me a lot of strength when I first heard it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being different or about feeling inadequate or something. You know, it's a song that really spoke to me, and I wanted to do it in a way that was the way you were able to do it was brilliant, but I wanted to do it as more small, fragile kind of and get the emotion across more or where I was coming from or what it meant to me.
Did you sit around at some point and brainstorm songs to do and throw out like 100 of them and whittle it down, or how did you do that? What are some of the ones that would surprise us that you were considering? Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Monkey's handing out passes to the after party or something. I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna do Master of Puppets.
Oh.
Acoustic.
You want to try that this morning?
And we did Led Zeppelin's
we
did Whole Lot of Love and another one. What was it? Immigrant Song.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Come on.
No, I can't do it. Too early.
It may be too early for this, but have you gotten any kind of feedback back from Radiohead about what they think you've
heard? No, I haven't heard a thing.
Okay.
Have you heard anything yet?
Not yet. All right. It's Breakfast with Korn at Capitol Records here on the world-famous Q-Rock. We promised you, the fans, get a chance to talk to them, the band. And by the way, I apologize you couldn't be closer. I mean, some of you were almost 20 feet away from the group here this morning, and I know that that's tough. You guys in the back, you can barely make them out. They're just tiny little specks on the stage, right? Producer Lightning, the man with no bass in his voice, is out in the crowd. Who's our first first question?
I'm right here. What's your name? Where do you live? And what's your question?
I'm Joe. I'm here to represent the Big Bad 909 Ontario. And I just was going to ask you guys what kind of advice you can give to upcoming bands who are really trying to put themselves out there and, you know, get attention from labels and stuff like that so people can get a chance to...
That's the billion-dollar question right there, isn't it?
Question. I mean, you could do what we did. We just basically played, self-promoted. Yeah, we had a bus. That was one good idea. We'd always charter a bus, and we'd charge people money to... The money included ticket into the show. And we had a couple kegs on the bus.
Nice.
So it was a ride to and from the show from Huntington Beach to L.A. with the whiskey. We did a lot of times and brought a lot of people in. It's just basically playing and getting out there.
I like that the first 30 seconds of your answer on advice on how to make it in show business, it involves kegs.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is so high near the top of the priority list.
What can I say?
You got to do what you got to do.
Now, I would imagine a guy like you, John, who you know, has a label and has the family values tour and everything like that, you just like all the time people have got to be trying to get demos to you to, hey, help me out, hook me up, right?
Well, you know, this Monkey's got the label now.
Okay. Monkey's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you got. That's his stickers. I'm sure you get bombarded all the time.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I mean, what do people do to get your attention? Obviously, the music is the most important thing. But.
Yeah, but recently, like, MySpace has been, like, a huge promotion for, like, bands and people promoting themselves.
Right, yeah.
Hey, in a world where Tila Tequila has an album out, you know what I mean?
Anyone can do it, right? What kind of music do you get mostly? Is most of it bad?
Most of it's rock.
Rock, but I mean, is most of it bad?
A lot of it's really bad.
Yeah.
But I usually flip through it and try to find something good and make
something,
you know,
good, right?
Post a comment about it.
That's cool.
Hey, the fact that they've got somebody in the business, a professional, actually listening to their stuff is miles ahead of where they'd be otherwise.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right, let's do one more question before we hear more music from Van Lightning. Who's next?
What's your name and what's your question?
My name's Ashley. I'm from Gardena. And I just want to know, is there anyone else you guys are planning on collaborating with or want to collaborate with?
No, not really, no.
You guys work with Robert Smith on this particular album of The Cure.
Well, that was, yeah, what can I say about that? That was amazing thing. That, you know, The Cure, I idolized growing up. You know, when you're in high school, you have those bands.
Right.
Or your bands that got you through high school, and The Cure was one of those for me, so.
Was it tough to get them to agree to come to New York and
no.
do that? No?
I called up Robert Smith. I was sweating bullets. I'm like, oh, God, I'm calling Robert Smith right now. And asked him if he'd like to do it, and he said, of course. We'll be there. And I was like, oh, okay.
It blew your mind.
It blew my mind, man.
I saw the interview on MTV with him. He was talking about how they were busy, they were working on something else, and he was turning everything down. But when you called, he thought, that's something I'd love to do. So he took a break.
That's so strange and surreal, man.
Came over and did it.
He is the coolest guy, too, to hang out with.
He is. He's really, really cool.
So down to earth and fun.
Yeah. And that band can drink.
Man, they party.
I've never seen a band drink. Killed us.
What about
in our
us?
Prime.
Even you guys?
Wow. No, in our prime, we couldn't even mess with that band.
That's saying
wow.
something.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
That is good.
Wow. All yeah, right.
Dude, they're like 90 years old.
They are, I know. They're still putting it away.
So you think you're pretty much done with collaborations for the time being, in other words. You've got it out of your system a little bit on the Unplugged
yeah,
record.
Yeah, someone blows his web right now, we're cool.
Happy to be Korn.
Happy to be us.
Exactly. It's Carrick UFM passing to Los Angeles. You're listening to our Breakfast with Korn. Let's hear another number. Boys, what do you think?
Cool, man. We're going to do a song called Got the Life.
I think I know it.
Breakfast with Korn on K-Rock.
Seacrest. You know what I'm saying? Korn Live. Come on.
Jonathan Davis, the guys in Korn, a lot of wacky instruments. It's part two of our Breakfast with Korn.
I think this is the first one we've done since Breakfast with Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
Which was so great. And if we don't get a chance to say this, thank you guys for doing this morning. And finally we can... Finally crossed you off the list of bands that we've always wanted to do, kind of up close and personal in the breakfast thing.
It's tough to get bands to agree to singing first thing in the morning. It doesn't seem like that's your natural tendencies.
No.
It does kind of suck, right?
Yeah.
The Korn Unplugged album from the MTV special is in stores, and you ought to buy it. That's all I'm saying. You really owe it to us and to them to buy it. I was
talking to Fieldy a minute ago about his wedding video that's online. You can actually see. It's like she's the perfect white bride, and then he comes in on the choppers with all of his friends. It's awesome. It's
It was convicts and normal people. It was funny.
What? Why is that online, Fieldy? What's the story there?
This company that did the wedding video for us, I just did them a favor and gave them a little plug.
Okay,
it's a cool video. I want people to see it. It's hilarious, man.
That's not good. What most people are looking for in a wedding video. Oh, you got to check it out. It's really funny.
You don't want boring. Just, oh, God, so love.
Now, his bride is beautiful, white dress, family, everybody all prim and proper, and then they come in on the bikes, and it's just awesome.
It's like poor Bam's wife, you know? You got to think of what you're marrying into, right?
Guys will be guys
when you do it. All right, so we got to cut just a couple minutes left. Anything else we want to cover with Korn before we hear our final song?
New CD coming out July 17th.
Yes.
You're going to tour Family Values.
Yes.
Well, do you have any idea when Southern California you're going to be here? Do you know?
Don't know. I think the end of it, but not sure.
The end
yet.
Of the tour?
Okay.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Korn.com.
Korn.com. And just just prepare to be rocked by this new album.
That's K-O-R-N, by the way.
You will be rocked by this new album.
Okay. K-O-R-N. Oh, that's why I couldn't find it.
Now, I know you're going to close with Freak on a Leash, which you do a wonderful job on the Unplugged album with, and it's one of your most beloved songs. We talked about how you got together with The Cure. I don't think we heard the story about how Miss Amy Lee ended up on that song with you.
Well, it started back when we first met her back out on the road. We were doing festivals together, and she came up to us. She was a scared little girl. Came up and goes, I love your band. Your band was everything to me when I would go through high school and, said all this stuff to us. And we were, really taken back, whoa, thanks a lot. And then we came back and we did the next tour on her next album came out. And we're heard something. She was playing one of our songs on stage. It was Thoughtless. She did a cover of Thoughtless on her live album. So we're like, you know what, it would be really cool. We wanted to do something that was different, of course, for the Unplugged. And her being a fan and her doing that stuff, we thought it would be really cool to have her come on and do a Korn song with us.
For folks who don't recognize the name, Amy is the lead singer of Evanescence, a band that you hear on K-Rock. And we had them at, was it just last year we had her?
I think so, yeah.
And I didn't know what to expect having not seen them live. Girl can sing.
Yeah, she can.
She
really,
wails.
Really sing. She's a wailer.
And it's a really interesting arrangement. I mean, you guys had to really pick this song apart to make it work as a duet.
Yeah.
You know?
It really wasn't that much work.
Except
the music part was, she just came in for, an hour?
Really?
Yeah, we just nailed it out.
And you got the, hey! You got that part going.
Yeah, I had that, and she was stolen over the top. Yeah, you could do that
today. I could do the hey part? That's fantastic. MTV Unplugged, Korn Unplugged, in stores everywhere today or available for download. This is going to be the last song we hear from the band here this morning, but let's give it up for Korn, huh? It's a lot of fun.
Again, you can watch it at krock.com for the next 24 hours.
Yes, they will hook you up with AT&T Blue Room, and I want to say thanks again and hello to fans of Korn all the way around the world who are watching this on the internet right now.
Thank you.
It's very cool.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Freak on a Leash to take us out. Korn on K-Rock, everybody.
Something takes a part of me. Something lost and never seen. Every time I start to believe, something's raped and taken from me, from me. Life's gotta always be messing with me.
You wanna see the light?
Can't they chill and let me be free?
So do I.
Can't I take away all this pain?
You wanna see the light?
I try to every night, all in vain. In vain. Sometimes I cannot take this place. Sometimes it's my life I can't taste. Sometimes I cannot feel my face. You'll never see me fall from grace. Bye.
live, I felt the days.
See the light.
Nothing in my life, it's free, it's free. Sometimes I cannot take this place. Sometimes it's my life, I end days. Sometimes I cannot feel my face. You'll never see me fall from grace. Something takes a part of me. You and I could better be a chief for me to lay. Something takes a part of me.
Breakfast with Corn. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll see you again soon. We appreciate it very much.
There were a lot of bad fires this past year and a lot of bad Channel 4 news coverage.
Killer heat wave bakes Southern California. Listen to this. A heat wave swept Southern California for a seventh day on Monday, claiming the lives of an elderly couple, setting record temperatures and leaving thousands of customers without power. What happened, Lisa? You were talking about that earlier. What happened with the old folks?
They were in their 80s. The man was in a wheelchair. They lived in Studio City. Apparently, they had an air conditioner, but I heard Doc earlier say that it was broken.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get it to work, and they died. And when they found them, it was 105 outside, 110 in their apartment.
Oh, dear God.
Ouch.
They must have lived in Woodland Hills.
Power?
No.
They were in Studio City. That's how freaking hot it is.
Yeah.
Studio City is now like Woodland Hills. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Let me add that and say it was not frosty in Southern California over the weekend. If I could be so bold as to put
that much of a point on it.
It was actually not at all chilly. Very few Arctic references being made this weekend.
Here's a few of the highlights of some of the TV coverage from over the weekend.
Well, it wasn't a twister, Sylvia, but certainly some twisted weather.
A freak flash flood made flashlights the most sought-after item Friday night.
Whose idea was this? The asphalt itself is about 300 degrees. Tack on 100 and a dime in atmospheric temperature, and you have perhaps the most uncomfortable task of the day.
So what do you do? How much water do you drink?
Two gallons.
2 gallons an hour.
An hour and 20 minutes.
What's the worst part of the day?
Right now.
I do plumbing, and I'm going to be going and digging a sewer line up, which is your main, you know.
In 110-degree heat?
Yeah, just water. Keep stuff cooled off. Take breaks.
Right now, we are having clear weather, but as I take a look at the clouds, you know, I would have to say it's very unstable. We're hearing thunder, and it could start raining again. Right now, the pavement has dried off, but that could change within a matter of minutes. They change rapidly here in the mountains.
No sign of rain in the skies, but plenty of these on the ground.
Well, it's so hot, I thought I might take an umbrella. It might make me feel a little cooler. Doesn't help.
With temperatures in the triple digits, that isn't a surprise. Some restaurant names not conducive with al fresco dining. Outdoor eating areas this afternoon abandoned. But not everyone is suffering in the heat. John Christopher's house is made out of stone. An excellent insulator, he says, to the blistering temperatures outside.
So it stays pretty cool inside even when it's hot out there. About 20 degrees difference.
A new house, though, isn't a requirement for coolness.
Right.
Just ask little Kevin Gowder here.
I'm just drinking mango juice, and that's how I keep myself cool when I go in the heat.
I don't. Oh.
All I have to do is drink the mango juice?
Honestly, I don't need to know how a four-year-old stays cool.
Why do they do that?
Why do they do that?
Well, the only thing worse than being the couple in Studio City that died is being poor Doug Kriegel for Channel 4. It doesn't matter how hot it is or how many days in a row they make him go out and cover the heat with all the various angles. And I believe we have Doug. I believe we have a hookup with Doug, don't we?
Yes,
good morning,
Doug.
Mr. Kriegel. How are you?
Hello, Kevin and Pete. How are you?
We're good. How are you today, Doug?
Out here in the street, and it's just too hot.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Doug, we're on the air right now, dude.
I am so tired of standing out here talking about the goddamn heat.
Now, Doug, I saw you on the news Friday afternoon and then Saturday, and then they sent you out there again Sunday and then Monday for Labor Day. And you're telling me you're still covering the heat from all over the Southland on Channel 4?
Boy, isn't it hot out here. Look at all the heat.
This is bullshit. Doug, we have to watch our language.
I don't give a anymore.
Wow.
I used to have a career. I used to be a real reporter.
Well, that's when you could breathe, Doug.
Is part of the problem that they said you're out every day and you've got to make news out of something that frankly isn't news? We all know it's hot out and there's only so many ways you can talk about it.
Hey, what's in that water bottle? Are you staying hydrated? You.
Doug, maybe you've done a few too many stories about the heat.
Son, I hate it. If I had my way, I would just destroy the sun.
Well, I don't think you have that option.
Have you done any of those hard-hitting interviews this morning that I like so much where you ask little kids what they're doing to stay cool?
Yes. I found some kids playing in a fire hydrant.
Uh-huh.
And I said, turn that fire hydrant off. Don't you know we're out of water? Kids. That won't be on the air today.
So you've spent a little too much time in the heat. That's what you're saying.
I think I have a stroke.
Yeah.
Is it warm out there at all this morning, Doug?
No, it's nice. Yes, it's hot. My balls are hanging so low right now. My old scrotum stretched to its capacity.
I don't need to hear about any more of
that. Look at my low-hanging balls. Now that would be some news.
Yes, it would.
Hey, Paul Moyer, look at my low-hanging They're sticking to my thigh.
All right, Doug, we gotta run.
Look at me. I'm hot. It's hot out here.
All right, we get that.
Hey, Chuck Henry, look how my droopy are hot. This.